Luke chapter 2. In 1957, an American inventor named Alfred Fielding, along with a Swiss chemist, stumbled upon one of the world's greatest invention and one of children's favorite toys. He was attempting to invent a new kind of, I tried to figure this out this morning. I think the right word is bougie. He was attempting to create this new kind of bougie wallpaper. And he wanted to attract the younger generation. And so what he and his Swiss chemist friend did, they took two shower curtains. And with these two shower curtains, they put them through a heat press. And their goal, again, was to make wallpaper. Does anybody still have wallpaper in their home? Yeah, you can tell. This was in 1957 when he wanted to invent new wallpaper to attract the younger generation. So as you can imagine, if you take two shower curtains, put them together, and run them through a heat press, it ain't going to make a very good wallpaper. When the two plastic pieces of shower curtain liners were fused together, what wound up happening was little pockets of air began to emerge. And Fielding was obviously incredibly frustrated. I mean, he wanted to invent a shower curtain, and now he was left with this plastic bubbly thing. You've probably used this plastic bubbly thing this Christmas season. You see, Fielding knew that bubbly shower curtains wouldn't make for good wallpaper, but he also knew that his invention would do an excellent job of protecting valuables. And so Fielding clarified and changed the purpose of the thing which he created. Originally intended to be wallpaper, it turned into something that would impact the world. His shower curtains that he wanted to be wallpaper wound up becoming bubble wrap. And now you know how bubble wrap came into creation. By 1960, IBM was using bubble wrap to ship their products. And by 1971, bubble wrap was earning an estimated $5 million per year. Today, the bubble wrap market, which is a thing apparently, the bubble wrap market generates somewhere around $11 billion each year. All because a man named Alfred Fielding clarified and changed the purpose of his creation. Let me ask you something, church family. What is your purpose? You ever wondered that? You ever considered that question? What is your purpose? Like, why do you exist? Why were you created? Why are we here? Why do we carve time out of our week every week to come to church? What do we do when we leave here? What is our purpose? Why were we made? Over the last couple of weeks, we've considered the gifts that Jesus has given us. Last week, we considered that Jesus gave us the gift of worship. This week, we consider how Jesus gives us the gift of purpose. Today, this morning, the Sunday before Christmas, we're going to be in a very familiar Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. It's the nativity story. And as we study this passage together, I want to show you four pictures of purpose from Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 2, let me invite you to stand in honor of the public reading of God's word as we read Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, going down to verse 20. And God's word says this: "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this season where we can pause and reflect on the incarnation of Christ. And Father, I pray that today as we consider this familiar story, that you would teach us something new. I pray, God, that you would show us something about your work, show us something that maybe we haven't seen before. And Father, I pray that as we leave here this morning, we do so talking about how good you are, how awesome you are, how great you are, because of the work that you've accomplished here this morning. Father, I pray that you would work in the lives of individuals in this room. I pray that you would work collectively in the life of our church. And we pray that you are glorified in all that we say and all that we do and all that we think. We pray you get all the glory. And we pray this in the strong, saving name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Four pictures of purpose. Number one, Jesus is the first picture of purpose, and he was sent with purpose. Now, the wording here is super important. It's important that you know that Jesus was sent with purpose. Jesus is eternal. He had no beginning. He was not created. He has always existed, and he will always exist. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus was sent from heaven to earth with purpose. John Wesley described the incarnation of Christ perfectly. He summed it up with one sentence. You ready for it? He said this: "The best of all is God is with us." God is with us. That's the incarnation. The incarnation of Christ, when God became flesh and dwelt among us. And that happened all with great purpose. In Luke chapter 1, one chapter earlier, we see the angel Gabriel showing up. He was sent to earth to announce the incarnation of Christ. Look back in your Bibles. Luke chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 28. Here's what happens. Verse 28. "And the angel came to her being Mary, the angel being Gabriel. And the angel came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this would be." You'd be worried too. "And then the angel told her, 'Do not be afraid.'" A common theme among angels: do not be afraid. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him" what? What's your Bible say? "Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary asked the angel, verse 34, "How can this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?" And the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Did you see it? The Holy One to be born. That was Jesus. Jesus, who was timeless at that point, became time-bound. The Word became flesh. The Word became like us. God with us. Jesus was sent here with great purpose. But I want you to understand, before he would arrive on earth, he had to be sent to Bethlehem. Did you catch that in the story? Look at verses 1 and 5, 1 through 5 again. Verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered to his own town. Who sent Mary, Joseph, and Jesus to Bethlehem? Caesar? Well, yeah, on the one hand, Caesar did. On the other hand, it was the Lord. Look at what happens, verse 4. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him. And what does the very end say? Engaged to him and what? Pregnant. Which means that Jesus was not here yet. He was still within Mary's womb. And so Mary and Joseph and the pregnant Mary, along with Jesus inside and Joseph, they begin the trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And they may have thought they were going there because the government ordered them to. That may have been their thought. We got to get there because of the census. But don't you know the Lord used Caesar Augustus to accomplish his plan and his purpose? Because you see, 700 years prior to this event, in Micah 5:2, it was prophesied that the Messiah would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. 700 years prior to the birth of Christ, it was prophesied by Micah that the Messiah would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. And look at what happens while they're there. Verse 6 in your Bible. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And then she gave birth to her firstborn son. Can you imagine what it was like to stare into the eyes of God Almighty? Can you imagine what that felt like for Mary, for Joseph, to hold Jesus, to stare into the eyes of the incarnated Christ, God with us? At that point, Jesus was here. And my friends, he was sent here with great purpose. And Jesus tells us what his purpose was. Luke chapter 19, he said this very simply: the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. The purpose of Christ is to save us from our sins, giving glory to God. Jesus left his home in heaven so that we could be at home with him in heaven for all eternity. To God be the glory. God is with us, my friends. Jesus was sent with purpose, and after he was born, we see the angels were sent with purpose. And what was that purpose? Well, they were sent to proclaim the good news and to worship. Look at verse 8 in your Bible. In the same region, the Bible says, the shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over the flock. And then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were what? Terrified. They were terrified. That word terrified comes from the Greek from two words. One is phobeo. What does that sound like? Phobia, which means fear, and one is megon. What does that sound like? Mega, big, huge. So literally translated, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they had huge fear. So take as scared as you've ever been in your life. Think about that moment. The scaredest you've ever been in your life, multiply it by, say, 1,000, and you're starting to get an idea of what the shepherds felt like that night. Imagine this. They were minding their own business. It was nighttime. They were on the third shift. It was dark. They're just trying to keep the sheep safe. They had clocked in. Maybe they brought their lunch that night so they could eat out in the fields. And then suddenly an angel of the Lord stood around them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. How bright do you think it was in the field that night? But the angels tell us their purpose. Look at verse 10. But the angel said to them, what does your Bible say? What's the first thing the angel said? Don't be afraid. a common theme among angels. Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior is born for you who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. The angel was there to announce the good news that in Bethlehem a Savior had been born. The Messiah was here. God now dwells with men, and He has come to save us from our sins. And look at verse 13. It says, suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth to people He favors. Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God. Let me ask you, how many grains of sand are there by the sea? Anybody know? Take a guess. Over 1,000? Yeah. How many stars are there in the universe? Somebody take a guess. Over 1 billion. We don't know the answer to that. We don't know how many grains of sand are by the sea. There's too many to count. We don't know how many stars there are. There are too many to count. How many angels do you think showed up that night to praise? We don't know. Too many to count. There was a multitude, which means we can't count them. We tried 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1,000, 2,000. We can't count them. There's too many. Too many angels there to count. Can you imagine the scene? Now, as good as our choir is, and they sounded good this morning, amen? As good as our kids were, and they sounded great this morning, amen? As good as they are, nothing on earth can compare to the sound that the shepherds heard that night. As the multitude, too many to count, choir, all sang in perfect harmony. Beautiful sound. And what did they say? Glory to God in the highest heaven. Glory to God in the highest of all places, in the highest of heavens, and peace on earth to people He favors. On that night, quite literally, all heaven and nature sang. Why? Because God is with us. Listen to this thought. Warren Wiersbe says this. He says, God's glory had dwelt in the tabernacle and in the temple, and now God's glory was returning to earth in the person of His Son, Jesus. And catch this thought. That lowly manger was a holy of holies, all because Jesus was there. Jesus was sent with purpose. The angels were sent with purpose. Thirdly, the shepherds were sent with purpose. And what was the purpose of the shepherds? We'll look at verse 15. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known for us. Now, let me ask you a question. Imagine that you were a shepherd that night. What would have been your purpose when you clocked in for work that night? You're a shepherd, you go to work, you clock in. What's your purpose that night? Take care of the sheep to make sure that nothing happens to them. Now, you would have been given some tools for the job. A shepherd would have carried a rod, which would have been like imagine a sturdy stick with a knob on the end. And sometimes there would have been nails sticking out of that knob in order to beat away the animals that might come and take the sheep. It would have been given a rod. You would have been given a staff, which would have been used to move the sheep wherever you wanted. You would have been given a sling and a stone to scare off any predators off in the distance. You would have started your night, that night, with one purpose, which was what? Protect the sheep. But then the Creator came and completely changed their purpose. They started the night, we're going to protect the sheep, but now they had a greater purpose. And what was it? Look at verse 16. They hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. When the shepherds left the field, they went to find God in the flesh, and they found everything just as they had been told. And they reported all that had happened, and they were on cloud nine. So what did they do? Verse 20, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. So let me ask you this question. What is your purpose? Like, why do you exist? Why were you made? Why are we here? This coming Thursday, which is the day after Christmas, 16 people from our church family will pile into a van and will give up their Christmas break. They're going to drive 16, 18 hours to Acuna, Mexico, all to do exactly what the shepherds did. Look in your Bible, verse 17. What did the shepherds do? The shepherds showed up and they shared, quote, the message they were told about the child. They showed up and shared the message they knew about Jesus, the message they were told about Jesus. And that's exactly what our mission team is going to do in Acuna. They're going to tell the people in Mexico the message about Jesus. And just as Jesus was sent with purpose to save us from our sins, just as the angels were sent with purpose to proclaim the good news and to worship God, just as the shepherds were sent with purpose to share the message they had heard about Jesus, our Acuna mission team is also sent with purpose to glorify God. And what's interesting, what I find fascinating, is that each person on this trip, I can't say this with certainty, but I would imagine that each person on this trip, if not most people on this trip, if not every person on this trip, probably had some other plans, say at the first of the year. January 1, 2024, if I were to ask these people, what are you going to do over Christmas break? What do you think they'd say? Spend time with family, eat way too much food, watch the Chiefs win on Wednesday. Probably very few of them, if any, had on their radar jumping into a church van, driving 1,000 miles to the desert in the cold part of the year, build two homes for two families that they've never met and that they'll likely never see again, all in the hopes of sharing the gospel with them. But their Creator changed their purpose. He can do that. He has the right to change our purpose. And what I want you to know is that our mission team's purpose is really the same purpose as everybody here, the same purpose of everyone on earth. What the mission team will do in Acuna is they will glorify God. And they will do that in three ways. First, they will glorify God by being the hands and feet of Jesus. Secondly, they will glorify God by sharing the hope of Christ with the lost. And thirdly, they will glorify God by laboring with fellow believers in Christ. And they will labor as they build two homes. Let me invite our mission team to come up front here and just stand in front of the Lord's Supper table for just a moment. Let me ask first Sean and Gentry Bohm and their two boys, Isaiah and Isaac, come on up and stand right over here. Brett and Erica Price, along with Allie, Araya, and Asher. Lisa Woods and her son Noah. Josh and Alexis Barnett, who only decided a few weeks ago they were going to Mexico. Heath Hamblin and China Stewart, I don't think they're here this morning. And Michael Hunt. Church family, here is the Acuna mission team. And I want you to see this. The Lord is sending this mission team, and you are sending this mission team. Here is God's formula for the church and God's formula for missions. Are you ready for it? there is a team that is sent. That's these guys right here. And then there's a team that sends, and that's everybody else who's not going. And so here's what happens. Here's God's formula for missions. The sending team, that's y'all, the sending team sends and supports. And the sent team, they serve and they share. And collectively, church family, we are on mission together. And what happens when we do this? When the sending team sends and supports and the sent team serves and shares, what happens? What's the end result? Well, in God's mathematical equation, the end result is this, that the Lord gets all the glory. The purpose of every believer is to glorify God. That is your purpose. If you are a believer in Christ, your purpose is to glorify God. And these guys will do that this week by being the hands and feet of Jesus, sharing the hope of Christ with the lost, and by laboring with fellow believers in Christ. And we will glorify God. Those of us who aren't going, we will glorify God by sending them and by supporting them. And together, as a church, we are on mission. One of the ways that the sending team supports is through prayer support. So if you have your bulletin, everybody take your bulletin and wave it up high, real big. If you have your bulletin, inside of your bulletin, you will find a very specific prayer request, one for each family. So you're going to pray on December the 26th for Josh and Alexis. Josh and Alexis, raise your hand. You're going to pray for them in this specific way on December the 26th. On December the 27th, you're going to pray for Sean and Gentry and Isaiah and Isaac. Wave at us there, Bone family. You're going to pray for them on December 27th. On December 28th, you're going to pray for the Price family. Wave real big, Asher. On December 29th, you're going to pray for Lisa and Noah Woods. And on December the 30th, you're going to pray in a very special way. Because that's the day that we are going to dedicate the houses. And on that day, the gospel is shared so very plainly. On that day, those who receive the home and those in the neighborhood and the family, they hear the good news that we may have come and built a home, but the Lord in heaven is building them a home. And that if they would repent of their sins and trust in Christ, they would be in heaven forever. So you're going to pray on December 30th for these families and pray that the gospel is clear and that people are saved as a result of the trip. On December 31st, you're going to pray for Heath in China. And then on January 1st, you're going to pray for Michael Hunt. Wave at us, Michael, who is likely to be exhausted on that day because of all the work, but they're going to power home and they're hoped to be home late on January 1st. You, sending team, are going to send them by praying with them. And we're going to start by praying for them today. So if you would, go ahead and stand up where you are. And without smacking the head of the person in front of you, I want you to reach your hand out and extend it towards our mission team. And we are going to pray together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have called these people, these 14 here, 16 total from our church, 40 total. We thank you that you have called them to go and share the gospel in Mexico. We thank you that you've called them to be the hands and feet of Jesus as they show up and give a gift to this family that they could never imagine getting as they labor in the desert together, as they build a home, and as they share with them the good news about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done and why it matters. Father, I pray for this team. I pray that they would have safe travel. I pray, Father, that you would give them quickness as they cross the border. No interruptions there, no hiccups at the border. I pray for safety on the job site. I pray, Father, for relationships to be strengthened, for the relationships of these 16 people to be strengthened. And I pray for new relationships to be born. And Father, I pray that these families that we go to build a home for, I pray that they would hear the gospel and be saved, that they would see the hands and feet of Jesus at work and hear the good news, the message of salvation through Christ alone. And Father, I pray that our church family, the sending team, I pray they would commit to pray for this team, that they would commit to support this team. And I pray, Father, the team that is sent would commit to serve and to share. And Father, I pray you give them a story to tell. I pray that you give them a story from this trip that they will never forget, that they will always give you glory for. And Father, I pray for that, that your glory would be made known. We love you, we thank you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church family, would you give our sent team a hand? And sent team, you can head back to your chairs. Thank you. You can head back to your pews. You guys can head back. We are praying for you. Stay standing. We're almost done. I would be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to share the gospel with you, the good news of how Jesus can completely change your purpose. And here's the thing. If you walk into this room today and you don't know who Jesus is and what Jesus did and why it matters, it is so simple that even a child can understand it. And yet many adults often miss it. Here it is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you will repent of your sins and trust in Christ, you will be saved. And if you are saved, church family, if you are saved, the Lord might just change your purpose. And I hope and pray that he does. Amen? If you don't know the Lord, repent and believe. And if you do know the Lord, live out your God-given purpose to glorify God by all you say, all you do, and all you think. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much again for your goodness and kindness, and we pray you are glorified by our church family, glorified by the individuals standing in this room. Be glorified by our church family together. Father, I pray if there's someone in the room who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they repent of their sin and trust in you and are saved. And for the rest of us, Lord, I pray you would change our purpose. If our purpose is not to glorify you, change it. Help us to glorify you, to live out for you, and to do all that we do, say all that we say, and even our thoughts. Help them to glorify you. We thank you, we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.